Why settle for court jesters when you can have three kings? Here are your hosts, Roy, Javari, and Dan. It's the Three Kangs of the Midway Podcast.
Everybody, welcome to the Three Kings of the Midway Podcast, or Kangs, depending on your vernacular. We back like broad strides, baby.
Yes, sir.
Camp is in session.
Yes, sir.
Off season. Football is back, baby. We are now entering the Ben Johnson era. And entering the Ben Johnson era is the era of accountability, being held accountable.
Yeah.
And I know Nez and Dan got a lot to get off their chest about what has been happening in camp. Ben Johnson holding people's feet to the fire. He don't take no BS. Yes, and no rock. What do you say? No block, no rock.
Yeah, I'm right.
No block, no rock, dog. Straight up.
So how y'all feeling? How y'all feeling about this Ben Johnson era? The reports coming out of camp.
I'm overly excited about the Ben Johnson era, because I know he's not going to hold punches. I know he's not going to mince words. He's not going to coddle anybody. And that's one thing that we saw with this coaching staff. They're not going to coddle anybody.
Hmm.
It's straight up, like I like to say, Joe Jackson style belt to ass. If you step out of line, and that's facts, you know, and that's what I want. You know, from and I knew this was going the right way when they hired Eric Bieniemy, and I'm like, yo, they not playing. They for real. They serious about what they want to do. So, you know, we heard the reports of yesterday where Luther Burden got snatched out of the offense. You know what I'm saying? Because he lined up improperly. And then, you know, from what they were saying, he was given a tell that he was going into motion because the defense called it before he even did it. You know, and this is a play that they ain't even ran before. But if you're giving telltale signs, you got to come out flat out, plain and simple. And he lined up wrong in the offense. So Ben Johnson got in his ass about it. But, you know, one of the things, and then, of course, you know, you got Ben Johnson not only getting in his ass, but Antoine Randall getting in his ass, too. So these coaches are holding everybody feet to the fire, including our own precious Caleb Williams. But we'll get to that in a little bit.
Yeah. Man, I mean, you speaking on it, you speaking real, real, you know, real proper on it. I mean, it's, you know, you got to look at the situation, and I look at what the Bears have going on, and it's a stark contrast to what we had last year, right? Ad nauseum, bro, we talked about how, you know, Matt Eberflus and his whole entire coaching staff really didn't hold people accountable. You know what I'm saying? You know, you look at, I always draw right back to that Tyreek Stevenson situation, right? And everybody was like, Tyreek, he's stupid. He was not paying attention, blah, blah, blah. This and that on the field, right? He was engaging with the fans. But you know what? The coaching staff is more at fault than the player in that situation. And I was trying to tell people that, and people didn't want to hear it. And it's like, no, the coaching staff, you got eyes in the sky, in the booth, right? You got guys on the field. If you're looking and you see your guy not engaged, not focused, call a timeout and get him out the game. Simple. It's simple, bro. It's simple. But they didn't do it. So nobody saw him but everybody in the stadium except the coaching staff. So if they're not paying attention to detail, how do you expect the players to? The reason he did what he did is because they didn't hold him accountable. That's what you see different going into this year, right? Ben Johnson, you know, with Luther Burden, I don't care if you just getting in, you know what I mean? Or you haven't been practicing, now you just getting in. It don't matter. You should have been studying the playbook. You should know what the telltale signs are. You should know all of that stuff, right? Probably more so than anybody else, because that's all you were doing, and rehabbing, of course, right? For whatever injury it was. So at the end of the day, he should have been locked in and focused. Being a rookie, you got to go out there and prove yourself. You feel me? So, you know, hopefully he gets that together, man. And sometimes it it takes a minute to motivate some of these younger guys, man. It's a different generation than what we were.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Very different.
We was happy to be there, bro. You know what I'm saying? We got on the field and we was doing everything to stay on the field. Now these guys nowadays are entitled. They feel like, nigga, I'm me. You know what I'm saying? So give me me. That's how they look at the situation. They're entitled, man. Spoiled brats. So at the end of the day, you got to kind of get them out of that. They have to buy into the system. And the only way they do that is by being held accountable. I think Ben Johnson right now is doing a great job of that. And I'm glad to see it happening. And I'm glad we don't have that hard knock stuff and all of that. You know what I mean? Because the Bears, as an organization, I think they were trying to put on for the cameras.
Yes.
This mom and pops, like, everything's happy-go-lucky type of situation. And nah, bro, this is football. This is football. It ain't no, you can't be nice in football, bro. That's how you get hurt. That's how you get beat up. That's how you get dog walked on the football field, by being nice. You can't be nice. You gotta be nasty. You gotta be ugly. You gotta curse somebody up. You gotta get on somebody. That's what happens.
Yeah. And the thing about Bird, he's hella talented, because they showed some clips today. He cooked Kyler Gordon on a route, right? So. But he's going to be somebody you got to keep your foot on his neck, you know.
Right.
It's like parenting. We all parents here, right? You got to hold people accountable. You know, you got kids. If you let them do whatever they want to do, they're going to do whatever they're going to do. They ain't going to do their homework. They ain't going to make their bed. They're going to just run amok. They're going to eat Cheetos all day and lay around. You know what I mean? So you gotta put foot to the ass, belt to ass, in order to keep him in check.
Joe Jackson style.
Yes, he's one of those guys. But he's talented. But he ain't going to be one of them self-motivated guys. Like, I don't think you got to watch Rome like that, you know, but you're going to have to watch Luther. you're going to have to be in his ass.
Same issue with J-Mo. That was the same issue with J-Mo. And I think that's why they brought Antoine Rendell along, you know, due to the fact that, again, these are the carbon copies of one another. When we drafted Luther Burden III, I said, that's our J-Mo. I said it off rip. I said, that's our J-Mo. Mm. And J-Mo and Luther Burden went to the same high school. Grew up in the same neighborhood, are carbon copies of one another. Right. Both from the St. Louis, Missouri area. One went to Ohio State initially. And then, you know, at the time, he couldn't crack through the fact that they had Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson, and Jackson Smith and Jigba as they starting wide receivers. I mean, goddamn. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Then on the bench. You know what I'm saying? Then on the bench, you had Marvin Harrison Jr., my man who just got loaded, drafted. What's his name, bro?
I know you're talking about. I'm drawing a blank.
God dog it. Number two for Ohio State. He just got drafted not too long ago.
Oh, yeah. I know who you're talking about. He'll come to me in a minute.
Yeah, they had him and Abuka. They had Emeka Abuka.
Yeah, Emeka Abuka.
You know what I'm saying? Yep. So they next crop after that wave of Jackson Smith and Jigba and Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave, they next wave was Marvin Harrison Jr., Abuka, and J-Mo. Mm-hmm. But J-Mo felt he should be playing now, so J-Mo left. And J-Mo went to Bama, and the rest is history. Right. You see what I'm saying? So, To say this, you know, he needs somebody. Again, they know what type of player that they're dealing with. This is high risk, high reward. There's a reason why Luther Burden went in the second.
Yeah, he should have been a first. Yeah.
Exactly. There's a reason why he went in the second round with the type of talent that he has. There's a reason. It's because it don't all click up here. It don't all click upstairs.
Did you see that video Black Dicker posted where he was like, I'm a fairy?
Yes.
I was like, what is this, bro? Yes.
That's that shit that them kids is into now. With that chick from Milwaukee. She has that song, you know, and it blew up, you know what I'm saying?
See, this is how you know I'm getting old. Bro.
Rapping like the Detroiters, but she from Milwaukee, you know, so it blew up. And Luther Burden had, you know, end up doing a TikTok to that song or whatever, right? One in the locker room and on the field. Okay. So we know what type of player that we're dealing with, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. We know what type of player that we're dealing with. That's can be a head case, but is uber super talented. Yeah. Super talented, right? Mm-hmm. So again, this is high risk. I wouldn't even say high reward. I would say high risk, jackpot reward. Okay.
Yeah.
Motherfuckers is a dog. Okay. A dog. Yeah,
he the type that it gets a slant and go 88. What it, 88 out the gate. Yeah. He'll slant 88 to the house. Touchdown.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And we have a lot of that in Chicago.
He's a blue chip. He's a blue chipper, folks. A game breaker. Let's not understand. You say, oh, well, he went to Missouri. Well, he chose Missouri.
The reason why he went to Missouri, though.
He chose Missouri over Alabama. He chose Missouri over LSU. He chose Missouri over Ohio State. He chose Missouri over Notre Dame. Everybody wanted him for a reason. True All-American stud, blue chip wide receiver. Game breaker, game changer. He's a difference maker. Flat out. Yeah. Just like J-Mo.
I mean, here's another thing you got to look at, right? So we talked about this several times. We talked about it before when Jalen Carter was going to get drafted and things like that. And we understood, being Bears fans and knowing how the Bears operate, they're not going to draft Jalen Carter. At that point in time, they wasn't going to.
We knew, yeah.
Now, this is a new era of Bears football, right? Mm-hmm. They've now kind of acquiesced to the times that we live in, right?
Yeah.
It's no longer 85. It's no longer that feel-good story, whatever you want to call it. Now, let's just be real, bro. When you got some knuckleheads on your squad, or some guys that you know what I mean, that get in trouble with at times, or head cases, whatever you want to call it, all of a sudden these are the guys that got that skill. They're the ones that put you over the top. It's a lot of people. Look at you know, posts and stuff like that. When you get some guys getting in trouble in college or whatever, Georgia was having a bunch of guys getting arrested.
Reckless driving.
Yeah. This, that, and the third. Back when I was at Texas, Cedric Benson, you know, breaking in people's apartments, stealing TVs. Like he stole his own TV. Let's be real. Like,
Mama smoked TV.
Somebody stole his TV. I ain't gonna put that on.
Yeah,
stole his plasma, right?
Yeah, he stole it back.
You know, yeah, we got it back.
Yeah, right? That's he did. So, yeah,
that's what it is. You know what I mean? Yeah. But you know, things like that. When things like that start happening on the team, people look at it and be like, oh yeah, they national contenders now. You know what I mean? National championship contenders. Same thing in the NBA, man. Like you know, you got some knuckleheads, but there are some coaches that can get through to them. You know what I mean? You look at Dennis Rodman. Dennis Rodman was a wild card, bro. I'm not saying, you know what I mean? He liked to party. He liked to do his thing, blah, blah, blah. And we talking about basketball, of course. Dennis Rodman was a wild card, but Phil Jackson could get through to him. Chuck Daly could get through to him when he was in Detroit. You see what I'm saying? So it's like there are some coaches that can get through to these guys. And we hope that Ben Johnson is one. I think he's got a head start on the situation, seeing that he was able to deal with J-Mo already, right? So he understands what Luther Burden is bringing to the table. Mm-hmm. But not only that, he also understands the mindset of this young kid who is not done growing. His frontal lobe ain't done yet.
No, it's not.
It's not done.
No, it's not done.
So you have a situation where you got to be hands-on with this guy, but you got to encourage him, but you got to bring him along. And you got to have him engaged. And, you know, I think he's going to do a good job of doing that. You got to speak to him. Sometimes guys like to get coached hard, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it helps, too. The Bears got depth at wide receiver, right? So you got still crazy got Olamide Zaccheaus. So if you snatch Luther Burden out of Zaccheaus, that dude can play, man.
Yeah. Crazy.
Like, he can play. He just depth. He's a starting slot wide receiver in the NFL, right? You got Devin Duvernay back there. You done pushed Tyler Scott way down to wide receivers. Six.
You got speed everywhere. All of them do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All of them.
And then not to mention, you still got Colston Loveland. I want to talk about Colston too, because he's been balling. Cole Kmet. So you got a bunch of pass catchers. So when you draft Luther Burden, when I saw that pick, I was surprised he was still there. I wasn't even paying attention to he get picked. I was like, that's such a luxury pick. Like, so yeah, they can work with them because you got DJ and Rome, Colston. They probably going to get most of the touches. Right. And so he's probably option number four, number five. That's how talented the Bears pass catchers are right now. That's something to really be proud of. And the offensive line looks good. But we're going to get to the main person that, other than Ben Johnson, that needs to play well for this all to work out. Right. We've been here before when the 2018 Bears, when we had Mitch and Ryan Pace constructed this super team. We had Allen Robinson, David Montgomery, Tariq Cohen. We had all these players, right? The defense was like one of the top defenses in NFL history, right? And Mitch couldn't make that jump, right? And so Caleb has to be the one.
Gotta be.
He has to.
You got whether he wants to be or not, he has to be.
Yeah.
No other choice. No other choice.
It's all set up. Why.
Okay. Now, I'm finna go into my deep dive because, again, only on the Three Kings Midway, we give y'all that rough, raw, gritty, straight up facts. Remember,
that's it.
I told you way back, this was March. I told you way back in March, the pressure is on Caleb Williams, flat out. All the pressure is on Caleb Williams. Remember, I said this way back in March. If you don't believe me, go through the pods. I said it way back when, long before ESPN said it, long before anybody said it that dealt with the Chicago Bears on the Bears blogs and all them other cats. Y'all late to the party. I've been said this, that Caleb Williams is under the most pressure. Right. Now, let me go down my lists of why Caleb Williams is under pressure. Number one, he inherited the franchise savior role, flat out. He inherited that franchise savior, flat out.
Yeah, from they day put him on that one. Pedestal. Yep.
When they turned in that card, they said, you will be the franchise savior. After getting rid of the city's beloved quarterback, because everybody, look, don't let a couple of them turkey neck salami breath fanboys tell you that no one wanted Justin Fields, okay?
Salami breath.
Don't let one of them turkey neck salami breath fanboys tell you that we didn't want Justin Fields. Oh, you a damn lie. We wanted Justin Fields. We wanted him for many various reasons. One, we knew he was a leader. Two, we knew he was a winner. Three, he didn't have shit around him.
Yep.
All right? So we knew that, right? But you got rid of him anyway. Okay. Begrudgingly, we wasn't feeling it, but we got on board. Because why? You said that this was, you win because of Caleb Williams. You don't win with Caleb Williams. You win because of Caleb Williams. That's what we were told.
He was going to be the guy to put you over the top.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So you hand him the keys. There's no buffer. In between, you got to come in. You got to come in. You got to hit the ground running. You have to. All right. Now, number two, he has elite weapons. No excuses, Caleb. We don't want to hear that shit. You have elite. When I say elite, you have elite weapons. You have legitimately three number one wide receivers. Three number ones in Romo Dunze and DJ Moore and in Luther Burden. You have three number ones, legit three number ones, not to mention top tier talent at the tight end level.
Mm-hmm.
Colston Loveland, which is tight end one. I don't fuck with none of y'all say. He tight end one.
Yeah, that's a wrap.
Flat out.
Yeah, people were saying Cole Kmet is running with the twos, and you know I love Cole Kmet, but Colston is a different
Colston
beast.
Colston is a dog.
He's a different beast.
Okay, I watched him in Ann Arbor every Saturday. I didn't think it would work out, but somehow, some way, it did. Okay, but hey, it is what it is. You have elite weapons. The most any rookie quarterback going into his second year is coming in with. You have far more weapons. Far more weapons. All right. So you got the weapons, right? All right, cool. They don't have this type of support, Caleb. They don't. Most people that was drafted where you drafted, they don't have this type of support in their second year.
No.
At all.
No. Look at Cam. Look at Cam out there in Tennessee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or look at who we traded to get Caleb basically out there in Carolina.
That's a fact.
Yeah.
That's a fact. So, well, I'll continue on. Reason number three, he's under a lot of pressure. The NFC North is wide open. And when I say wide open, they don't have a dominant quarterback in this division. Not one. If you're supposed to be that guy, if you are legit supposed to be that guy, you can't hang with the likes of Jordan Love. You can't hang with the likes of What's the little motherfucker they got in Minnesota? What's his name?
JJ McCarthy.
You can't hang with JJ McCarthy? You can't hang with Jared Goff? Seriously?
Yeah. He should be number one in the division.
You goddamn right. He should be number one.
Should be.
Yep. Say that again. Let the church say amen. Say that one more time.
Caleb Williams should be the number one quarterback in NFC North, and he should be the number one quarterback in NFC North for the next decade.
Goddamn right. By a mile. If he is who they say he is.
Yes.
If they is who they say he is. Now, again, if they is who he say he is, we ain't got shit to worry about, right? Nothing. Nothing at all. Okay.
And hold on. Before let me just jump in and say one thing real quick before you continue on. I'm going to let you continue. But when you mentioned it, right? And you said, okay, this is what they said he was. And we moved on from Justin, so this is what you became. This became the expectation. But you know what? At the end of the day, we have to also recognize that he fully embraced that role.
Yes, he did.
You see what I'm saying? So it'd be, you know, he fully embraced it.
We segued right into it.
Go ahead.
We segued right into it. So, number four, hype equals pressure. So with hype equaling pressure, Caleb Williams came in with Mahomes-like level comparisons, NIL fame, the Heisman Trophy, means expectations were sky high.
Right.
So, I'm sorry, folks. The expectations were through the roof. He's not...
generational.
Yeah, he's generational. That's what y'all said. So, unfortunately, he's not allowed a quiet development year like other young quarterbacks. He's not. And the reason why I say he's not is because, again, you were drafted as the franchise savior. And on top of that, our general manager didn't do his fucking due diligence in bringing in Jaden Daniels. He said, fuck him. I know you that guy. I believe in you being that guy, and I don't need to look at nobody else because you are the guy. Bottom line. So guess what, Caleb? You embrace that. What was one of the things that you said when we drafted a punter? What did you say? I don't think you'll be punting a lot around here. Excuse me? You said that. Mm-hmm. You got to deliver on the goods. You got to deliver on the goods. But I'm still not finished. I'll continue. But you got to deliver on the goods, man. You got to deliver on the goods. Number five. People don't want to admit it. The Bears front office, they pushed all their chips to the middle of the table right now. Right now. They know they have to strike now. They got to find out whether you're the guy or not right now. You don't have 4 to 5 years, Caleb. I'm sorry. You don't. But that's the name of the game. That's what happens when you go number one. We don't have 4 to 5 years to watch you develop. We don't. You either do it or you go or we got to move on. Because guess what? If you don't pan out, you know how many years you set this franchise back? Mm-hmm. Literally, how many years you may have set this franchise back and may have cost people their jobs? A lot is riding on your shoulders, young man. A lot is riding on your shoulders. Straight up. You built this offense. Ryan Poles built this offense totally around who? Caleb Williams. From the head coach to the offensive line to all the wide receivers.
The offensive line is a huge one, bro.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. The Bears might have one of the best offensive lines in the NFL right now.
Absolutely.
It went from one of the worst to one of the best.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
See, that's the thing. That's what we have to recognize that, right? So what we've been complaining and what Bears fans have been beefing about for the longest time is that they haven't paid attention to this. They haven't given attention to that. The Bears and Ryan Poles, they've done exactly what people wanted them to do. They addressed offensive line, offensive line several years in a row. They invested in a quarterback, a wide receiver in the same draft, top 10 picks. They turned around the very next year and drafted a tight end in the first in the top 10.
Tight end and a wide receiver.
Turned around and drafted another wide receiver. So you have, and then they traded for another wide receiver as well. So they've given him basically everything he needs, right? They've drafted running backs. They've got DeAndre Swift. You know what
drafted
I'm saying?
Tackles.
Drafted tackles. Drafted, you know what I mean? All these, signed a center, the top center on the.
Traded for Hall of Fame, left guard. Yeah.
Got your highly coveted Ben Johnson. Let it all work out, bro. That's it all work out at this point. But go ahead, Nez, you still going?
Yeah, still going. So after they pushed all their chips in, like I said, they went and got Romo Dunze. They re-signed DJ. They re-up DJ. They went and got Colston Loveland to, you know, be that playmaker tight end. You know, they went and got Luther Burden. They went and got Zacchaeus. You know, they got solid guys now, bro, that can all do what? Run after the catch. That can all do what? Get open. Caleb, you got to be accurate. You got to be accurate. You got to get the ball there. You can't overthrow niggas by 15 yards no more, bro. That shit ain't gonna ride. Little quick little joke we had on the instant messenger. Will was like, you know, I had showed him what Tennessee quarterback was doing. I was like, damn, that was a hell of a throw. And then Will was like, he was like a yawn. He sent the yawn emoji. Was like, yeah, our last two previous quarterbacks could do that. I was like, yeah, very true. But with Caleb, goddamn, is it gonna be catchable? Because he overthrowing cats by 15 damn yards. Like, damn, bro. Is it going to be catchable? I mean, that's facts. I mean, yeah, he can do it, but shit, is it going to be catchable? You know, but it is what it is. You know what I'm saying? But moving on, we've had within the last 3 years rookie quarterbacks proven that they can win now. And it's changed the narrative. Again, it's changed the narrative. We had Brock Purdy, CJ Stroud, and now most recently Jaden Daniels, that have took franchises from the outhouse to the penthouse within one season. In one season, they turned around a franchise fortunes and went to the playoffs, right?
And they did that. They did that with less talent.
With less talent.
You just outlined the talent that the Bears have and that what they've done to surround Caleb with talent. So these other quarterbacks did it with less talent. Right.
Yes.
With coaching that sometimes was questionable, not all the time, but sometimes was questionable. You know, Ben Johnson, we don't know what's going to happen with Ben, of course, but he's highly coveted. Let's just be real about it.
Yes.
I think Ben Johnson's a good coach.
Damn good coach.
You know what I mean? Like he's a good coach. Yeah. I think all these other guys, Dan Quinn, what's his name? San Francisco. I'm drawing a blank.
Shanahan.
I think they're better. Yes. Shanahan. I think they're better coaches, but I don't think that's a deficiency anymore. If I had any excuse for Caleb Williams, it would be that offensive line sucked and the coaching staff sucked, which I said all the motherfuckers should have been fired. Yes. And I told people last year, somebody argued with me last year and said, the Bears offensive line ain't that bad. And I was like, bullshit. The only person they should have kept from the offensive line was Darnell Wright. I told him, left tackle through right guard all need to be changed out. And guess what the Bears did? Guess what the Bears did?
They did.
Bears said, Ozzie Trapeil, Joe Tooney, Drew Dahlman, and Jonah Jackson. So whoever told me that, I don't remember who told me that, there's your answer right now. So that's the only excuse I'll give him. But right now, I'm going to be honest, he has no excuses.
At all.
Other than the Bear, and I know Ben Johnson's gonna scale back the offense to do what they can do best.
Yes.
But I think he's a good play caller. I think he's a good coach. The Bears offensive line is one of the best in the NFL.
Yes.
The Bears wide receivers core is one of the best in the NFL. We have one of the best offensive lines in the NFL. And okay, the only flaw you can say is DeAndre Swift's probably average. But at least he's average. Yeah, it's not like you just got a bum back there. Like, this dude
But you know what? The crazy thing about it is, if you look at that running back, Kyle Manungai.
Yeah.
He is going to be – he's the same – okay.
Listen, he's the David Montgomery. Yeah.
David Montgomery and Ashton Genty. He's the same exact build, everything, like Ashton Genty. Just without the height.
More explosive, yeah.
Just without the height. And he's faster.
No, he's Genty's fast.
He's physical too, though. I don't know if he's
just as fast as Genty, bro. I'm dead serious.
No, I think Genty's like a 4-4 guy. Munang guy is more like David Montgomery.
He's more physical, though, in the blocking game.
Bruiser.
And protecting the quarterback. He's going to stick people back there.
Yeah, he
is.
I think he's more physical in that regard. So that's gonna help Caleb. So
absolutely.
You know.
And with that line?
There is still a weapon for him.
Absolutely. Now, last two things I wanted to touch on. Well, I say he's under a lot of pressure. Again, take your emotion out of it, folks. Take your emotion out of it. We can't make excuses because, again, this is what we were sold when we made that trade in March to get rid of Justin Fields. Market spotlight. Chicago is probably one of the roughest media outlets, sports outlets, that anybody could ever face. I would argue they on par with New York. I would argue they right on par with New York. Mm-hmm. I told everybody, it's gonna come a time. And it came a lot sooner than what I thought, but I watched what you did with Justin Fields. And I said, you know, there's gonna come a time where all that bravado and brash and, oh, you're not going to have to punt anymore and doing that stupid-ass bear claw and all that shit. That's going to wear off, bro. And they're going to be like, you got to win. And they will go and they will turn on you. They will And what they start doing this offseason, turning. Setting up the narrative that did we make the mistake. And all it took was for Jaden Daniels to make the play. Damn near make the NFC Championship game. Oh, no. He did make the Super Bowl. Jaden Daniels damn near made the Super Bowl. And everybody going to say, Washington had this, that. Shut the fuck up. Washington picked number two. We picked number one. And if we're really going by record, we were a better team. We were 7-9. So we were the better team.
We was actually better the year that we made that pick than we were this year.
Absolutely.
We had a better record.
You're actually right.
Absolutely. So again, it's a magnified sports market. Failure in Chicago gets magnified by a million. Whether people want to understand that or not. If he struggles this season out the gate, oh boy, they're going to be brutal. They are going to be brutal. 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 And when they brutal, we already seen what happens when he was at SC. They shook his confidence. When he took that shot on the chin against Notre Dame, it shook his confidence. He wasn't the same. That whole season, he was doing a lot of questionable things. And this ain't, and folks, I want y'all to understand, I'm not shitting on him, but this is what I saw. And when I said, no, you don't move on from what we have, because he's none of that. It's a lot of things that worries me about him. A lot of things that worries me about this. It's not his ability. It's his mentals that worries me, period. And again, if it gets brutal, you start out 1-4. You start the year out 1-4. Again, when Ben Johnson got to Detroit, remember, let's not forget, they started out 1-7. 1-7 before they turned it on and damn near made the playoffs. But they started out first getting their ass kicked. It took a minute.
It don't take a minute, yeah. Sometimes it takes a minute. When you got a whole new offensive line coming, you got new pieces on offense, you got a young quarterback, you got new... You know, I mean, it's just a lot of moving parts, right?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So
we can't expect them to come out the gates. Maybe they do. We don't know. But we can't. I don't expect them to come out just full-fledged, boom, firing all.
No, I don't.
Right? It's going to be a work in progress. But can they maintain under the pressure? Can they handle the adversity to get to the benefit of
finding a way to scratch out some games?
Exactly.
Finding a way.
You gotta be able to deal with the adversity first, though.
Yeah, gotta find some ways. Gotta find a way, whether it be the defense, whether it be special teams, whatever. You gotta find a fucking way. Whether it's the run game, you're gonna have to find a way. The first 8 games of the season, you're gonna have to find ways to win games that are not reliant on Caleb Williams. because he's going to struggle, folks. It ain't no secret. He's going to struggle, okay? Plain and simple. What ails him cannot be fixed in 6-7 months. And that's what I want people to understand, okay? This ain't fucking Madden, all right? This ain't NFL 2K. This ain't none of that shit. This ain't Tecmo Bowl. This ain't none of that. What ails him is not going to be fixed in 6-7 months. That's lifelong shit that plagues him. Do you understand? Not playing on script. You're going to have to break him. And that's why Ben Johnson was breaking him the first couple days that they showed up to training camp. Trying to break him. Mm-hmm. Flat out, I got to break you down in order to build you back up into what I want you to be. I got to break you of all that bad shit that you do.
Even the whole study and film thing. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Like that's another one. Like he didn't really know what he was looking for in film. Exactly. You know what my understanding was or whatever. I don't know if he doesn't watch film or never watched it in college or probably didn't, because you get over on your talent in high school and college, right? Mm-hmm. You get completely over on your talent, so you don't really have to pay attention to that stuff. If you don't have a coaching staff that's fully invested in you to help you with that, You're not gonna know what you're doing. On they may give you something to watch, you know what I'm saying? And they may throw it out there, but they're not gonna have time to just do, you know, be locked in a room with you watching film and showing you how to watch film. Facts. So it's a work in progress. But those are things that he has to do. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not giving Eberflus and them no excuse, because they should have been doing it. They should have been helping the rookie. Right. Shane Waldron, all of them cats, they should have been doing that. They should have been helping that rookie out. They didn't. They dropped the ball. But at the end of the day, let's call it a spade a spade. Caleb Williams dropped the ball because he wasn't fully invested. Facts. Now, look at the difference, right? Peyton Manning, somebody like that, right? Peyton Manning, you know he studied film. He was talented, uber talented, but you know he studied film. You know what he was looking for. You know what I'm saying? So you have a situation where this guy is a guy, he's uber talented, he got over on that talent, probably didn't pay that much attention in film study, probably didn't care about it that much because I don't need it. You know what I'm saying? So we gotta be real about it. And that's not bashing Caleb, that's just calling it what it is. It is what it is.
Facts. And I want people to understand this, okay? Just because we are critical, we are giving constructive criticism of our starting quarterback, don't mean we hate our starting quarterback. But we are not finna sit here and blow smoke up people's asses and like, yo, oh, this is gonna be the year the Bears should win 12-13. Have you seen that goddamn schedule? It's brutal. Brutal. We have the second toughest schedule in the NFL. The second toughest. Let that sink in. The second toughest. All right? It's because everybody's in our damn division is good. Everybody mm-hmm. that we're playing went to the damn playoffs. Let that sink in. So now I'll get to my final point. Why Caleb is under a ton of pressure. Last and final point. You will forever... You're going to, as long as you play in the NFL, you're going to forever be tied to Jaden Daniels. He sped your clock up. He sped your clock up. Regardless of how you may feel about it, regardless of what you may think about it, I don't care what people say. I don't care what, again, the salami brigade have to say, what they turkey neck asses who never stepped on the field, never played a down, never did a goddamn thing, couldn't break down film, couldn't tell you the difference between a cover two, cover three, cover one, cover two robber. They couldn't tell you shit. Okay? Couldn't tell you nothing about what a defense is in, how to attack a defense, anything. I don't give a flying fuck about what they're talking about. These two are forever going to be tied at the hip and compared to one another. Again, this is why he's under so much pressure. Because again, what Jaden Daniels was is what the Chicago Bears thought they were getting last year. Let that sink in. What he did is what we thought Caleb was going to do. Right or wrong?
Yeah.
That's that. You see how silent it just got on here, folks?
Yeah.
That's the uncomfortable. That's the uncomfortableness of the truth hurts, man. The truth hurts. But that's the level of uncomfortable that every Bears fan gets when you bring that up. Because what Jaden Daniels was last year is what we were expecting to get with Caleb Williams.
You know why? You know what? Another reason why it brings up that? Because we had a chance when we had our pick of a quarterback a few years ago, of three of them.
Yeah.
And the one that was picked third ended up being the best.
Hey.
Generational.
Hey.
And then, so it's all that Bear fan PTSD. We finally get the number one overall pick. And we picked the guy number one, and the guy number two is better than the guy we picked. Hey. So it's a lot of wounds.
Hey.
That get reopened.
Hey, we preaching the gospel open, up here today. We gonna have to play as a collection plate around in a minute. Because we preaching the gospel.
It's
up
that
here
PTSD.
Today. That's facts.
Now you're like, damn, we could have had Jaden Daniels and we picked Caleb Williams, and Caleb Williams better work out.
Hey, that's facts.
Gotta work out.
You gotta work out.
Gotta work out.
Jaden Daniels sped your clock up, Caleb. Guess what, buddy? You don't have much time, bro. They need to know whether you're him or whether you're not so they can move on, because guess who's coming out behind you? Arch Manning.
Yeah.
Guess who's coming out behind you? Right? Arch Manning. And I can see Ryan Poles moving heaven and earth to get Arch.
Coming on this thing too.
If it don't work. If this don't work.
I think Arch is going to stay for two more years in Texas.
Oh, yeah. This season and next.
He stays for 2 years. But that gives you enough time to understand who Caleb is. By
exactly.
Year,
I was going
to
say,
year three.
I think I think by the end of year three, I think you got Caleb got this year.
Yes.
And then next year. Yep. And then if he ain't on it, yeah. That's how the NFL is nowadays. Yeah. They're not going to wait.
It is what it is. It is what it is. And folks, let that sink in for a minute again. That deathly silence that we had. Shit. Because you sit there, you think about it like, damn. Word. Like, for real, bruh? Like, yeah, that's what it is. That's what it is. So again, he's already.
I'm just throwing this out there, right? Yeah. A lot of people are gonna be like, oh damn, here we go. I'm just saying, don't let Justin Fields ball out with Garrett Wilson in New York.
If something happens, I promise you,
balls out. And say Caleb stumbles,
bro,
do you how loud is it?
They will burn,
Jaden Daniels balls out. Yeah,
they will burn Soldier Field down if Justin Fields fucks around and takes the New York Jets to the playoffs. And finally has a staff that believes in him and put all the pieces around for him to succeed. It's going to get ugly. It's going to get ugly on the Chicago talk shows.
I don't see it happening because it is the Jets, of course. Right?
Yeah, it's the Jets.
But I'm just saying, if it happens, and it's a big if.
Man, you know what, though?
And St. Caleb struggles, man. The fan base in the city, bro. Come on, dog.
Bro.
And the theatrics, right? I'm just gonna call them theatrics. I'm not saying that, you know, whatever, blah blah blah. You know, the pictures he was taking and all this type of stuff that was circulating.
It's gonna wear thin.
You've seen the jokes and the memes and everything like that. I'm just saying, people will get tired of theatrics. They will get tired of theatrics if you are not producing on the football field.
Very true.
It's the same thing with anybody. I'm talking about anybody. Antonio Brown. They would deal with the theatrics until you could no longer produce at the highest level. Then all of a sudden, this is getting old real quick. When your headache is too worth more than the production that you put out, then people start turning. They want to turn around on you. So, and I'm not saying, you know, hey, have fun with life, do whatever you do. I don't care. You know what I'm saying?
Staff
just
wins.
Go out there and perform. Just go out there and perform. That's all I want you to do. Oh.
Yeah. And I'll add this because we hitting with the truth bombs, right? And then Bear fans be like, oh shit.
Yeah.
I will say this. We said it. Caleb Williams is talented. He's talented. Yeah. He's talented as hell. He probably is. Physically, yes, he's probably the most talented that's been out in a while. But he has to, I don't know what he's doing on his off time. I'm assuming that he's working hard, but that's all his ass needs to be focused on right now. He needs to be obsessed.
Yes.
Yes. Completely yes. obsessed. No hanging out, no taking pictures, no girlfriends, whatever you into, none of that. He needs to, like, he gets out to practice, he needs to be throwing extra. He needs to go to his room and he need to be on that iPad. He need to be listening to himself. Like, you need to be obsessed. Obsessed.
Did you hear Derrick Rose, what he said in that podcast the other day? He was like,
no.
I attribute my first 3 years when being the youngest MVP ever, I attribute it to Kobe. And he said, because I didn't go out, I didn't drink, I didn't go party, I didn't do none of that stuff. My teammates were, but I didn't do none of that stuff because I was like, Kobe ain't doing that.
Right.
He's obsessed with ball, so I'm going to be obsessed with ball. And he was doing that. He talked about how he signed with the agent that he signed with because he was associated with Kobe. And he just wanted to pick his brain about what's Kobe's routine, what's he do, blah, blah, blah. And yeah, he didn't have a real close relationship or anything like that. Like, he was calling him up, but he was picking his brain through people that he knew. And then he modeled not his game, but he modeled the mentality after what Kobe was doing. Was obsessed with the game. He ain't going out. He ain't going to parties. That's what Caleb needs to do. He needs to have that type of focus. And if he has that type of focus, the sky's the limit for the kid. Straight up.
That's about how serious. It's all about how far he wants to take it. But again, to say he's not under any pressure, you a damn lie. He's under a lot of pressure, and he's feeling that pressure.
But you know what stops pressure, bro? When you prepare.
Yeah.
Preparation. Like, if you have an interview coming up and you don't practice, like, bro, you need to be sitting across from people you know. Ask me these questions. Badger me. So when you get in that real life situation, you prepare for that situation 1,000 times.
Absolutely.
That's the difference with, like, Kobe was like, when I shot that shot in the game, I practiced that 1,000 times.
Yeah.
So I'm not like, oh my God. But when you sitting off that bullshitting and you got to shoot that shot, you hoping it goes in. You like, man, that elbow right there, I shot that shot 1,000. I shot that one 2,000. I shot that one 500. I shot that 1,000. That's how he needs to be. He needs to be fucking obsessed. And he probably, if he does that probably for the next couple years, you could probably ease off a little bit because you made it.
Right.
But he is in a situation right now, and I think he said it, he understands the gravity. He can become a fucking legend.
Yes.
If that man wins in Chicago with the Chicago Bears, he would be as big as Michael fucking Jordan.
Yes.
A god. You know, he would be at that level.
A god.
You know? And so all he has to do is lock in for the next couple years. Because everything else is there. Yep. But it's all on him. You know, it's not like he didn't have the talent. Like, we knew at some point, like, even Mitch, he was limited when it came to a certain point.
Right.
And he can only do so much. Caleb doesn't have that ceiling.
Yeah. Very
true. He can do everything. So I get last year was fucked up. So I'm going to say, okay, it was fucked up. But now, bro, you better be on it. You better be locked in. I don't know what he's doing right now, but that shit better be rehab related, football related. It better be something related.
He has to be, because of the simple fact of the matter, you're a year behind your rival. A year behind your rival. So again, going back to what you said, Will, he has to be fucking obsessed. He has to be possessed with the game. Because again, you are an entire, Jaden Daniels has an entire year ahead of you.
When Nez is saying that, understand what he's talking about. He ain't talking about the stats.
No.
That's not what you play the game for.
No.
Right? You play the game to win.
Yes.
You play to get championships. Like Jordan said it, right? I wasn't concerned. If I wanted to go out and score 50 a game, I could.
Yes.
But I just wanted to win. It's all about championships. It's all about winning the game. So at the end of the day, when we're talking about the comparison and you're saying, okay, you're a year behind, he's a year behind because Jaden Daniels already been to the playoffs.
Yes. Been to the NFC Championship.
Has been successful. The Bears have not had a successful season with Caleb Williams. Yeah, he put up some stats. He put up some numbers, right? He had the best rookie quarterback, you know,
touchdown interception ratio.
Bears, yeah. Right? But at the end of the day, that don't speak that loud because the Bears have had putrid, pathetic quarterback play for years.
Facts.
So it's not that impressive to me. right? Winning the game is what's impressive. So that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about stats, because I already know you're going to have these idiots that jump on, oh, man, what the heck y'all talking about? He threw for 3,500 yards or whatever. It ain't about the yards, bro. It's not about that. It's about winning the freaking game, dog.
It's about putting yourself in those situations to where you're vying for championships.
Exactly. Flat out, a threat, or you was just a team that go out there and play on a Sunday.
And get that's your ass whipped and
stuff. The team that goes and plays on Sunday, they're not a team that are legit contenders for anything, not even to make the playoffs at that point in time.
But look at the Reds. I call them the Redskins.
The Commanders.
The Commanders. The Commanders put the belt to whose ass in the playoffs?
Lions.
To the Lions. Best team in football. Jaden Daniels as a rookie.
Yeah. Unfazed.
In the playoffs.
Unfazed. Had him down by two touchdowns the whole game.
That's what we're talking about. Not the numbers. That.
Anytime that the Lions went to turn it up a notch, Jaden Daniels turned their ass right back down and drove down. Anytime the Lions would go down and score, what Jaden Daniels do? Oh, okay. Well, we going back down to score. Anytime. And when the defense got a takeaway, what Jaden Daniels do? Touchdown. Oh, my defense got it back for me. Okay, watch. Oh, thank you. Let me go back down there. Touchdown.
Get it.
They put belt to ass.
That's it.
So that's what we're talking about when we're talking about a year behind. Not a year behind. Season stats. We're talking about winning.
Not stats.
Winning.
That's great. It's wonderful. But what's that get you if you ain't won the game?
Nothing.
Stats don't get you anything.
Ask Cam Newton.
Nothing.
Yeah. Ask Cam Newton.
Exactly.
That's why his ass making podcasts now.
And a beat up body. He got a beat up body.
Absolutely.
That's it. You know what I mean? And was out the league by 30-31.
Because, again, everybody want to put the comparison to Cam Newton and Jalen Hurts. Well, Cam was way better than Jalen Hurts. Look at his stats. Who got the ring? Who's been to the Super Bowl twice? Who's outplayed his opponent both times he's been in the Super Bowl? Why? Because he's a team player. Why? Because he focused on wins. He ain't going to lose to you twice. That's one thing you can say about Jalen Hurts. Again, I pounded the table for Jalen Hurts before the year before we got Justin Fields. It's on here.
I wrote a whole article on it.
Go to the archives. Go to the archives of the three kings, and we pounded the table for Jalen Hurts before we got Justin Fields the following year.
Yep.
Go to the archives.
You know why? We spoke about it earlier.
Yep.
The reason why I like Jalen Hurts was because he lived through adversity.
He's a winner.
He went through adversity with Alabama, was a Heisman Trophy candidate with Alabama, got benched, came back in, won the game, right?
Yeah.
Then transferred to Oklahoma and still balled out in Oklahoma, became a Heisman Trophy candidate there. So the adversity that he went through let me know that he can handle it on the NFL level.
Yes.
It let me know he can handle the media. It let me know he can handle his teammates. It let me know he can handle coaching. It let me know he can handle all of those things. That's why I wanted Jalen Hurts at the time.
Yes.
That's exactly why.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough.
And that's what we're speaking to with this situation with him. Adversity. You got to live through that adversity. Nez, you said it, right? You said, I don't know what his mental.
What his mental makeup? I don't know.
Is he going to be able to handle it?
Yeah.
Right? Is he going to be able to handle it? That's the question. It remains to be seen. But if you have, he's got the support group around him. He got people that believe in him. And one thing that I will say that I like that what the Bears are doing, and Caleb mentioned it in his press conference, his interview or whatnot. He said, you know, me, Ben, Ryan Post, we're going to be here for a long time. So whenever you have that type of mentality, okay, we're going to be here for a long time, let's get this thing right, you're locked. You're going to lock in with those guys that you're working with.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So I give him that credit. I hope he's not just saying that, or it's just not words coming out, but it's actual actions being put into it as well.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It's not word salad. So that's enough on 18. So again, like I said, if you ask me, am I buying or am I selling stock in Caleb? It's too early to tell right now. But I need, he's going to have to give me something. He's going to have to give me something to believe in. Because as of right now,
yeah,
I don't know. And it's honest to say that when it comes to him, I don't know. I don't know. Because, again, I watched him last season. I watched him when it wasn't going right. I watched him last season when mm-hmm. it wasn't going right. I watched him for games where he's only thrown for 126, 147, 153.
Mm-hmm. Or I've seen those games. Play bad the whole first half or, you know, however long. And then all of a sudden you come to life when a team is improving and you're down three scores.
And they letting you get whatever in the air. I need to see when it gets tough. I need to see what you do when it gets tough. So.
And that's all I said. All I ever said last year was, great fourth quarter. Nice. Wonderful. Can we do that at the beginning? Of
First quarter, please? Second quarter, third quarter. That's facts.
Can we do that early in the game so that we're not behind and battling back?
Facts.
That's all I want. You know what I mean?
Facts.
Be competitive throughout.
Facts. So, Will, Colston Loveland, man. Know you wanted to touch on that.
Yeah, man. I'm happy that he played because, you know, when the Bears been driving these players that have been hurting, everybody started calling him Kevin White.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So, you know, I'm like, yeah. Damn, bro. Poor Kevin White, bro. But from what I've seen, bro, he looks legit, bro. He's smooth. The way he run his routes, I think he's going to be a matchup nightmare.
He is. That's why they got him. And I told you, like, bruh,
yeah.
Laporta, Sam Laporta, shout out to the Lions. Again, look, people think the Lions got some talent. I will say they got talent all up and down the board. Laporta is a matchup nightmare. When he lines up at tight end, man, dude is a dog. To me, I think he's one of the five best tight ends in the NFL right now. Right now, I believe Sam Laporta is top five in the NFL right now. Colston Loveland is a wide receiver in a tight end body. Mm-hmm. Literally. Can fade you, can beat you on a in route, can beat you on a slant route, can catch it and take it to the house. He's not robotic. He's not stiff. He has swivel in his hips. Okay?
Hands catcher.
Bro, that's what everybody has been wanting, right? That's what you've been gravitating towards. Like, yes. I look at Cole Kmet, and I like Cole Kmet. I like his game.
I do, too.
I like that he's a big body, big target. I think he's plenty athletic enough, right? But it's something different. There's a different agility. There's a different
athleticism,
elusivity when it comes to somebody like, athleticism, all of that. That when it comes to Colston Loveland, right? He's in that mold of a Travis Kelce. Kelce, not the fastest guy, but have you ever seen him dodge people?
Yes.
Get around people, get through.
It's just smooth, fluid.
It's just smooth. It's a different flow. It's a different movement, right? And you see that, and Colston Loveland has that, and I think he's a great asset for what the Bears are trying to do, and I think, you know, all I'm saying is keep both of them. Run the
12. Hell yeah.
Run the 12.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Run 12. Please run it. Run 12 personnel. You know what I mean? And I know he will because that's what Ben will do. You know what I mean? He's going to utilize the guys. And that's one thing that I like about Ben Johnson as well. I believe he's the type of coach, and I give credit to Shanahan for this all the time, because I believe Shanahan, while some people don't like him, some people hate him, I believe Shanahan is the type of coach that looks at his roster and he finds what's going to work best for this team. And then he starts doing that, right? And that's what he does. Instead of forcing guys to fit his scheme or his system or whatever, he adjusts to what he does. And to me, that's the mark of a good coach. A good coach is able to accentuate an individual's talents and skill set, right? Instead of forcing him to do something that he's not really comfortable doing. And I think Ben is going to do a real good job, not just with Caleb, but with Colston, with DeAndre Swift, with all of these guys that have talent. The Bears have a ton of it, right? He's going to be able to draw that talent out and let it shine. You know what I mean? And that's what I'm looking forward to.
That's
I know I'm going to touch on what Ned said earlier, like buying stock in Caleb. I'm buying stock, and I'm going to tell you why. It touches on what we just said. Mm-hmm. It's because I like Ben Johnson. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be flat out honest. If Eberflus was still here, I would be like, nah, I think Buddy cooked. I think he cooked. I think he's cooked. I spent so I'm dead serious, bro. Like, I do not like that fucking coaching staff, bro. And that offensive line. And if they had that same team and that same coaching staff and that same offense, I say he's done. I don't think he's going to be perfect, and he may not even catch up to Jaden Daniels this year. And it may just be what it is. Maybe it's year three. Maybe it's year four. Mm. But I think he has the talent to. But I'm realistic like that. I'm not saying he needs to surpass. He needs to be good. He needs to be better than what he was last year. And I think Ben Johnson is smart enough and good enough to put those players, not just Caleb Williams, in position. Because he doesn't have to be everything, right? Caleb Williams can get the ball to DJ Moore, Roman Dunze, Colston Loveland, and Luther Burden, and Zacchaeus, and DeAndre Swift, and Manunga, and just let them do their thing. And because a lot of some of these players, these like Jalen Hurts is a good example of that. He has a lot of talent around him. He's a winner. He knows how to play within that talent to get them in a position to win. I think if he can play that game right now, year two, then I think he'll be fine. He doesn't need to be Mahomes right now. And he probably not Mahomes because he probably needs a whole year of live bullets to be that guy. Man. Maybe he does. Maybe he comes out second year and throws for 5,000 yards and we all look like idiots, right? Ooh. I'll be happy as hell.
Same here.
You know, but I think a lot of my belief in what Caleb will end up being is a lot of his behind Ben Johnson, bro. That's a lot of it is. You know, you could have told me you could have taken Caleb Williams and replaced him with Justin Fields, and I'd probably tell you the same thing because I think Ben Johnson is that good. I spent a lot of time like studying and researching like what makes him good, and I think the dude is good. And so I wanted to see how he coached, and being that attentive to detail to me tells me a lot. He doesn't bullshit. Like, if you are, that's why Detroit are able to run those trick plays. People think they just run a trick plays. Remember, Nagy would throw up a play, and then somebody would miss a blocking assignment, and the whole play would get blown up.
Yeah.
That's what Ben Johnson can do that Matt Nagy can't.
Reindeer.
Matt Nagy would be like, oh yeah, if that one person would have blocked that guy, the play would have worked. Ben Johnson would lose his shit if that guy misses that assignment in practice. He's going to make you run that shit to the point where you can do it in your sleep because he knows how important every fucking thing is in every single play. Mm-hmm. And that's the reason why I had like the faith in Caleb Williams that I have. If they would have picked anybody else, bro, I probably wouldn't have felt this way. I'm gonna be dead ass honest, bro.
Facts.
Yeah. Right. Facts. Right.
Luther Burden III. Now, we've heard reports, again, like we said, it's a talented young man, right? Like we said, he's from the same side of the tracks as J-Mo, you know, Jameson Williams. They're from the same, they went to the same high school, grew up in the same area, played the same Pop Warner team, the whole nine, right? Again, this is boom or bust.
Mm.
But, you know, I truly believe it's going to be a boom, a huge boom. Colston Loveland, a huge boom. I think this draft class, you know, we talking about Ozzy, Trapillo, we talking about this draft class may go down as the draft class that was the class that got us a Super Bowl. I'm dead ass serious. This draft class. Remember how everybody talk about the draft class that Jumbo Colbert got drafted in, and who the Bears picked up along the way after they grabbed Jumbo Colbert, and they, you know what I'm saying, they grabbed all these players, right? They grabbed Richard Dent. They grabbed all these cats. You know what I'm saying? They grabbed them all through the rounds, and then come to find out that a lot of those players from that draft was key contributors on that 85 Super Bowl team. Key contributors. So, again, I truly believe that this draft class, all the talent, don't get me wrong, we only had very few picks last year, right? Okay, cool. But this year, we had a lutty of picks, man. And I think this draft class, as special as it is, as special as it can be, may be the draft class that can eventually we talk about, like, yo, he hit on this, he hit on that, you know what I'm saying? Poles hit on the running back, he hit on the wide receivers, he hit on the offensive line, he hit on this, he hit on that, he hit on this, and then followed up, and then came back and did this and did that and did this. I think this could be the class that starts it all. Again, like I said, it's going to be rough. It's definitely going to be rough. It's definitely going to be rough. Like I said, folks, when Ben Johnson first got to the Lions, when he got there with Coach Campbell, when they got there, the Lions started out the year, they lost their first six games. And then at the halfway mark, they were 1-7. Now, goddamn, there's no way in hell we starting the season that way.
I was going to say, this team has way more talent than that Lions team had.
But what I'm saying, way more. But what I'm saying is, it's going to be rough. It's going to be rough. But again, as I stated earlier, nobody in this division scares me. Not in our conference. Nobody scares me. Because again, if you can't beat out the likes of Jordan Love, J.J. McCarthy, and fucking Jared Goff, are you really generational?
That's, bro, it all sums up to that. Because we didn't even talk about the defense.
At all.
Our defense is good.
As fuck. Yeah.
We have a good defense. So it's not like the offense has to carry the whole load. We got a good special teams.
Yeah, I mean, you got to look at it. Look at it like Cincinnati. Somebody like Cincinnati, right? Chad Ochocinco said the other day, you know, with Cincinnati, just the defense just need to be middle of the road. Just give me top 15 to 18 and we'll be all right. Just don't be bad. Just don't be terrible. You know what I'm saying? The Bears are going to have a top. I think they're going to have a top 15 defense.
Yeah, at least top 12 or something. I'd say like
top 10.
Yeah. I think that I'm lowballing it. 15, I'm saying. But that should be enough to get you where you need to be with the amount of talent that you have on the offensive side of the ball.
That's what I'm saying. You probably got at least a top 12 defense.
It's not unfair expectations, right? To me, unfair expectations was expecting Caleb to be able to turn around the Bears organization in 1 year.
Yes.
That was unfair expectations last year. These expectations, bro, you're the number one overall pick.
Yeah.
You were highly coveted. Everybody wanted you. You know what I'm saying? So those expectations are always going to be there because you were the number one overall pick. Regardless of what the Kings say, regardless of what fanboys say, regardless of what anybody else says, you're the number one overall pick. It better work out. That's just how it goes, bro.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That ain't us putting that on them. That's just what it has to work. You know?
The Bears got too much talent, man. Like, you know, they just do. Like, I can't look at this team and say they have a major flaw. I mean, you can get picky and say, okay, you know, well, they signed Deo Odingbo and they just picked up the one guy, the guy from the Saints, and they still got Booker behind Sweat. You can say maybe you could have another dominant edge, a dominant one, but you got a solid one.
Right.
But you got a good one and a solid one and a decent backup. The interior, they gutted the interior. You picked up Grady Jarrett. You drafted Shamar Turner. Yep. You know, you already got Dexter there. You got Billings. So you're kind of good, and you got good linebackers. You know, you got good corners. People talk about the safeties a need. That's just because of the contract. Brisker's back. He's good. Bayard's good. Yeah, they end in the contract next year, but they're on the team right now. The backups are good. Hicks is good. Owens is good. I don't see a flaw. I don't see a glaring flaw in the defense. Mm-hmm. You look at you can get picky at the running backs. You can say maybe they should have got more depth. But if you believe in Roschon Johnson and Kyle Manunga, you don't really, you're good. Yeah, I don't see, I don't expect them to be Super Bowl contenders, but you need to be solid. You need to at least, you may not make the playoffs first year.
They should be competitive in games. And they should be,
you should be playing games
into December. The games should matter.
You should be in the hunt.
Games should actually matter.
Yes. At the end of this season, they should be saying, watch out for the Chicago Bears next year. They are going to be hell on wheels.
Yes.
That's what I want to see. I'm not expecting a playoff push this season. I'm not. If we get it, cool. Shit, that's icing on the cake. But
yeah, exactly.
Going into next season, I want to hear them say, watch out for those Chicago Bears. They are going
to be dark horse contenders.
Yes. They will be around for a long time, and they're going to be serious, serious contenders moving forward.
Yeah.
That's what I want to hear.
Exactly.
That's exactly what I want to hear.
Yeah. Yeah. So if they make the playoffs, great, but not like you said, remember with Detroit, it was Detroit the year before they arrived.
They beat Everyone Green knew. Bay.
They were like, Detroit's going to be the team next year. They're going to be a problem. That's what we need to be. We need to get in that season 8-9, whatever, just missed the playoffs, or 9-8, whatever. And they like, damn, these Bears, bro. Woo!
Yeah.
And then we still got our draft picks next year. They're going to draft this guy, draft that guy, and they're going to be get another edge rusher, add a little running back depth, and they done. At a safety, that's it. And you're a Super Bowl contender. That's what the Bears need to end.
Yeah.
No questions about Caleb Williams. Is he the guy? They're like, he the guy.
Yep.
You know.
Flat out. That's all I want to see.
And then you, that's all we need.
We should be going into next season. We should be sitting here knowing that he is the guy.
Flat out.
No questions asked.
Flat out.
100.
That's how it should be. So before we get up out of here, man, hey, all them listeners, Jordan 10 toe caps, they come out Saturday. I am definitely copping. Definitely copping.
Got
to. Jordan 10 toe caps.
Definitely a cop, bro.
I got to get my hands on those.
Oh, yeah.
One way or another, I'm going to have them. So one way or another, if I can stab somebody, I'm getting
it. Had to buy them overpriced on Gold or StockX next day.
Oh, man. Duh, I'm still holding out on those metallics, man. I do not want to get them. I do not want to get them resale price at all. And I'm pissed because I woke up late right when they came out. And I'm thinking, they'd be around. Nah, they never were around.
Yeah, they bust you in the head sometimes. Shoe Palace, that one link you said, Shoe Palace, they came through from the Forest.
Yeah.
The cement Forest. Yeah. I still ain't wore them. They still in the box. Yeah. Nez was like, I'm copping these. I saw it. I was like, boom.
Came through.
Came through. I was like, hope I ain't getting scammed.
Nah, Shoe Palace.
I'm going to put this on my credit card. not my account.
Right. I was like, Shoe Palace legit.
Gotta be on the credit card.
Yeah.
They definitely legit. So, yeah, that's all we got this week.
That's all we got, man.
You know, we'll definitely come back after we hear more news and notes, what's going on with the defensive side of the ball. And we'll touch back up with that again. Of course, you know, unless something breaks or, you know, as far as news, if something breaks or, you know, whatever, we definitely have that fire. But, you know, next week, touch up on the defense, man, you know. Dennis Allen, you know, what his philosophy is, what he plans to do. How is it going to look when we take the field against the Minnesota Vikings on Monday night? I definitely want to see what it's going to look like. Because, again,
we got that boy.
It's prime time.
That boy Wright. I heard he's been making some noise.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He came out of nowhere. 6'4 corner.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we can talk about that, see what he's doing. Yeah.
It's going down, man. It's good to be back. We appreciate y'all holding on for us and rocking with us. I know y'all been waiting for it. Y'all been waiting for it. And so have we, man. It's just good to be back. I'm loving it.
We had to get some news out here first, man. You know what I'm saying? We can't just be talking about nothing, and we ain't about that, man. We want to put out good content, you know.
Put out good stuff, man. Stuff that makes sense.
Exactly.
Man, not just throwing stuff out there and people listening for no reason, you know?
Yeah. You know, that's it gets boring after a while.
Will says, right? Like, we ain't doing word salad.
Absolutely. Yeah. We want to put out quality content, so that's what we do. You know,
had enough of that from Matt Nagy.
Absolutely. Right. But, you know, again, like I said, we come to you with it first. And then I don't know if people are listening. And then, you know, I don't know, but I just find it really funny that whatever the hell we talk about on this podcast, two, three days later, they own it. And then now it's the subject content for the next week. Whether
it's going to happen again.
Media, whatever. Call me crazy. But hey, call me crazy, but I'm telling you, I swear this is what it be. I swear this is what it be. Because again, remember back in March, I said he's under a lot of pressure, yada, yada, yada. Then it took like May, June for ESPN to catch it. Chris Canty and all them. Is Caleb Williams under a lot of pressure? Da, da, da. Wow, really?
And I'll be honest with you, I'm like, I was of the mind frame when you said that. I was like, dog, he don't need to be under pressure. But she was like, no, he's gonna be under pressure. This is just how it works.
Yeah.
And yeah.
I'm like, he shouldn't. No. You know what I mean? That's the way I think about it. He shouldn't necessarily be under pressure. Because to me, it's like he's a rookie again, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that ain't how everybody looks at it. So it's
at all.
He's definitely under the pressure, bro.
They're not giving
but
him
we called
pass.
It the year before. We said they're going to put him on that pedestal.
Yep.
They exalted him, and the same people that put him on that pedestal are going to be the same people that tore him down.
Yep.
He said it repeatedly.
Yeah.
Repeatedly. People were like, no, God. We was like, we know what y'all are going to do. We know what y'all are going to do.
Yeah,
and they did it. They did it.
I ain't even give them a year.
Chicago will eat their own. We tell people that Derrick Rose won an MVP. We talked about him earlier. They ate him.
Yeah.
And then now they're giving him his flowers now, but they ran him out of town. They wanted him gone.
Absolutely. Now we love Derrick Rose.
Everybody, we understand. We know who you were that did that too.
Absolutely. We know the people that did that. Absolutely. You know what I mean? So. All right. Well, till next week. Same bat time, same bat channel.
Yes, sir.
Any parting shots?
Let it all work out. That's all I want to happen.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Enjoy this ride. Should be fun. Should be fun.
Till next week.
Peace.
We out. Peace.